to the Chargers at the Jacksonville Jaguars game. Sunday, you're going to have the Dolphins and Bills. That starts us off at 11:30 pregame. Then you get the Giants and the Vikings, Ravens and the Bengals. And Monday night, you get the Cowboys and the Buccaneers. I am off Monday for MLK Day, Martin Luther King Day. And we will come back in. It's Happy Hour Sports with Steen and Scott on Tuesday. And we will be taking care of business of this past weekend in the NFL. The next segment is going to be brought to you by Des Moines Orthopedic. Des Moines Orthopedic Centers, helping you get back to living through orthopedic care. Three locations, 6001 Westtown Parkway, West Des Moines, 1301 Penn Avenue, Suite 213, Des Moines, 350 Northeast 36th Street in Ankeny. And services include foot and ankle hand therapy, hip, knee, shoulder, spine, sports med, sports rehab, trauma, and urgent injury. Urgent injury clinics are at both the Ankeny and West Des Moines locations. No appointments needed. You can look up wait times online at dmoss.com. You can see their hours, but just so you know them, Monday through Thursday, 10 a.m. to 6 p.m., Friday, 10 a.m. to 5 p.m., Saturday, 8 a.m. to 12 p.m. in West Des Moines, Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 3 p.m. in Ankeny, Saturday, 8 to noon. Go in, check it out. It works. It's a cool concept. It just brings everything together. If you are out, you had a sporting injury, rather than going to the emergency room, go down to West Des Moines or Ankeny and get checked out. New to DMOS is also Engineer Performance by DMOS, which is why I'm such a big part of that program. World-class sports rehab and performance training center in Central Iowa, 1711 Southwest Plaza Parkway in Ankeny, Iowa. Love it. Love the people that are running it. Love everything about DMOS, their relationship that we've had, and can't wait to continue on this year in doing so. Okay. We have a lot to talk about. I'm looking here. So I said that Sean McVay was coming back. This is an interesting, I'll give you a couple here. We were on the other night, and it kind of came across, I think it came across right when we were walking out. Lisa Marie Presley passed away, passed away from a heart attack. Her grandma did, Elvis did, runs in the family. It's a sad loss. Somebody sent me a video when the young man and his name, I was on the tip of my tongue and now I've lost it, who played Elvis and he was at an award show and he was thanking Priscilla and Lisa Marie. That's just sad news. And it's hard. It's hard for people. It was extremely hard when Elvis passed away. I remember how people in my family reacted to that. That was a big part of their lives. This one just popped up, Robbie Knievel, son of Evel Knievel, passed away at age 60. I can't believe Robbie Knievel is 60 years old. I did not know that he was that much older than I was. Trevor Bauer becomes a free agent after clearing waivers. Some teams going to bite the bullet, and that's a really bad thing. Some teams going to take a chance with Trevor Bauer to see if he still is the high quality pitcher. And I get everybody saying sometimes in a billion-dollar sport, you can overlook some things if it means W's. Does that make it right? Absolutely not. It does not. But it also is not changing things. One of the reasons that yesterday I said something about Coach Brendan Staley with the Chargers. I think he's a great coordinator. That is the thing that everybody kind of passes along, probably not the correct way. You have to start somewhere in the NFL. And not everybody can start at the bottom and become a head coach. It's happened. It doesn't usually work out well. You have to be a good coordinator. The NFL has gotten to a point, and it has changed the way that good teams hire their coaching staffs. But sometimes the not so good teams do not. if you were another team and you saw Brendan Staley and how he worked and how he did all that, that's, I mean, I get it. But you have a once in a lifetime quarterback. There's like seven of them in the NFL. And I don't even know if there's seven that could have that same. I don't even know if there's seven. But I know there's four. I know there's Patrick Mahomes. I know there's Josh Allen. I know there's Joe Burrow. And I know there's Justin Herbert. I love to be able to throw Lamar Jackson in there, but he's not there yet. He has skill set. He's Liam Nelson. I have a particular skill set. And he has a particular skill set, but not that skill set. When you have a quarterback like that and you bring in a defensive coordinator and folks, it's human nature. If your best stuff is on the defensive side, you want to hire the best offensive guy that you can get, but you also don't want to mess with defense. And when I say mess with defense, that means having somebody that on offense that wants to be aggressive and score touchdowns, but all may have turnovers, and then put the defense in a bad spot, and the defense gives up more points and touchdowns and But this blurb right here I'm getting ready to read is, it says, the Chargers wide receiver Mike Williams has a back fracture in a meaningless time to be on the field. He got hit from behind and is probably out for the rest of the playoffs. That is a huge weapon for Justin Herbert. It doesn't mean that Justin Herbert can't overcome that, but that is, and I am Steen in Des Moines, Iowa, saying I would think that would be a fireable offense for somebody that was that reckless with their roster. There are people all over talk radio and on TV saying the same thing. That's a fireable offense. Does that mean that the Chargers cannot win tomorrow? No, it does not. They have a very good shot at winning a game tomorrow. They're playing Jacksonville. And I think Jacksonville's a really good team. But these guys are accustomed not being in the playoffs. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens. But that is not a good thing. Today, the Green Bay Packers came out and said that they're not ready. Brian Gutekunst said he could look Aaron Rodgers in the eye and tell him straight up if the Green Bay Packers wanted to move on from the 39-year-old. And he doesn't think that they're ready to do that. If we were, I don't know what to think of what to do with Aaron Rodgers. And I married into a family of Green Bay Packer fans, so I'm going to be an outsider looking in. I do not think that their defense played very well this year. I think they underachieved. I don't think that LaFleur and Aaron Rodgers were on the same page. I don't think Aaron Rodgers and his wide receivers are on the same page. I don't think. There was something off. There were on that winning streak that got them almost back to the playoffs before they got beaten by the Detroit Lions, who the only reason that they had a reason to play that game was because they didn't want to see Green Bay make the playoffs and them not. And they wanted that win, and they played like they wanted that win. In that winning streak that they had, and if you listen, this is not just me. I mean, I watch the games and I have this opinion, but it's an opinion that was held by a lot of people. They were winning those games in spite of Aaron Rodgers, not because of Aaron Rodgers. His statistics in the last eight games were not great. I still don't think he has a rapport with his wide receivers. You look at that last interview that Alan Lazard did at his locker. I think he's ready to move on. I don't think he thinks he's being treated well. And I don't think it's because he's not being treated well because of the staff or the other players. I think it has to do with Aaron Rodgers. I think Green Bay has an Aaron Rodgers problem, not a coaching problem, not a system problem. He's just at a different place in his life. And winning matters, but it doesn't matter enough to come in and work as hard as everybody else is. And I think that's wearing thin there. And I'm curious to see what's going to happen. No matter what, he's on the books for, I think the least amount of money that he's on the books for the Green Bay Packers is in the $37 million. And the worst case scenario is if he would do something, Green Bay got so upset, they'd have to pay him $97 million. And that's not going to happen. And the next would be, I think, $57 million they'd have to take for a cap hit, depending on what happens. So not a whole lot that the Green Bay Packers can do, but when you're paying that amount of money for your quarterback and a couple of defensive players and your weapons want, you know, your weapons and your general manager and your coach wants everybody there in preseason and workouts and all that, I don't know what's going to happen. I don't think that's going to end as well as people would like to see it in. There is a lot of coach jumping going on in college football. One of the big ones right now is, and this is going to be a very interesting one. And Alabama defensive coordinator Pete Golding is leaving Alabama to go to Ole Miss. Scott and I had this talk when he first came back on Thursday. And we were talking about, because it was the first time I got to talk to him about the, here's the one, let me take it back one notch. Here's the one thing that everybody forgets is there was a game before the championship game. TCU, Michigan, Ohio State, Georgia. Ohio State, to be really honest, probably should have won that game against Georgia. I think they ran out of steam. They worked so hard to get where they were and get that game that I think they were wore out. And Georgia is a really good team. And for all of those people that said TCU didn't belong, and all of that. So Ohio State loses on a last-second field goal, and TCU beats Michigan, and Michigan had just stomped Ohio State. The only given in this is that Georgia is really, really good, and Georgia didn't have a good game against Ohio State. I don't know if it was because of Ohio State's defense. They did not play well. Stenson Bennett didn't play well. He played well in spurts. And Ohio State lost their leading receiver, and he didn't get to play. And they were rolling when he was in there until he got hurt. But getting back to the conventional wisdom that's out there right now is, well, when they go to a 12-team playoff, it's inevitable that it's going to be four SEC teams are going to be in the Final Four. And if you look today, I just glanced today, out of Alabama, Auburn, Clemson, Texas A&M, some of the biggest programs in the SEC have had far more people jump into the transfer portal than they've grabbed people coming in from the transfer portal to come into their programs. And I understand that they recruit well and they do all of that well. Folks, the difference leading up to these last 2 years when name, image, and likeness came in was the SEC had a television contract that was above and beyond everybody else. Well, in another year, that's not going to be true. The Big Ten's television contract is better than the SEC contract. The Big 12's contract isn't that less, much less than the SEC contract. It's money, but it's not as big a barrier as what you would think. Name, image, and likeness comes into this as well. Alabama and Georgia and Clemson and Florida State and Florida and Texas A&M are used to getting their whole recruiting class being 4- and 5-star athletes. 16, 17, you know, top end, 3 end, 4- and 5-star athletes. Why are those kids going to go to all of those schools and sit behind other 3-, 4-, and 5-star kids? when you can go, you can be on TV, you can still get to the playoff game. Now with 12 teams, it's going to be even a bigger chance to get there. Don't tell me on now the first round's going to be at the higher seeds home. I get that. But once you get into playing on a separate field, there's not going to be as many people going to these games or going to bowl games because you're going to have more than just one. You're going to have two. You're going to have three. You're going to have four. And you need playing time. These teams just aren't handing out $200,000, $300,000, $400,000 just because you're coming to the school. You have to be on the field. You have to be making a difference. You have to have a social media aspect to what you do. And you're not going to get more if you're not on the field playing. They're not. So what's going to happen, and what happened to Alabama, is they had a couple of offensive linemen get hurt, and now you have a bunch of their offensive linemen that went into the transfer portal. They had to go get Caden Proctor and get him down to Alabama because they didn't have a five-star to back up a five-star that got hurt, or they didn't have a four-star to back up a four-star. Texas A&M has lost 30 players into the transfer portal. They didn't get 30 players back. You need to win. You need to be on TV. You need to have name, image, and likeness. You need to have all of that. Iowa is in the transfer portal. And you're getting offensive linemen. You're getting a quarterback. You're getting another wide receiver. You need some other things. You added another tight end. And I think that's great. And that's what you have to do. They lost a lot in the transfer portal too. People that have been in that program for a while. So it's going to take time. So don't think that just because they're going to a 12-team playoff, that the only thing that you're going to see is SEC teams. It may happen, but it's not going to happen every year. You're listening to Steen on Sports, bringing sports your way every day right here on 101.3 FM, 1700 Champ AM, Real Sports Talk. For real sports fans, B Style is going to talk about the basketball game last night. We'll talk professional football after that.
Here's a look at traffic on 101.3 and 1700, The Champ.
Keep an eye out for some
Iowa sports. Steen on Sports. 1700, The Champ. Real sports talk for real sports fans.
Welcome back in, everybody. Once again, happy Friday. You're listening to Steen on Sports, bringing sports your way every day right here on 101.3 FM. 1700, The Champ AM. Real sports talk for real sports fans. Check us out on Twitter at 1700, The Champ, and at Steen on Sports. Facebook is at 1700thechamp as well. This segment is going to be brought to you by Heritage Building Maintenance. Provides quality, health-centric building maintenance and janitorial services throughout Central Iowa and the Midwest. Heritage is future-focused and driven by technology to find a healthier and more efficient way to serve their clients. They believe they should provide the first line of defense and proper health care, be industry leaders in implementing health-focused innovation and technology, providing peace of mind and protecting our future by being certified partners of science-proven microbial control to provide an advanced level of janitorial services to their clients. Go to heritagebuildingmaintenance.com. No, to go to heritagebuildingbldg.com to check out more about cleaning and the future of janitorial services. My next guest, it is Brendan Styles. He is at the B Styles on Twitter. How are you, brother?
Doing good. Just staying warm. And this is quite the week, I have to say.
Oh, it's been crazy, and so many different things to talk about, but I do agree with you. I want to start. Let's start with the Iowa Hawkeye men's basketball team.
Sure.
That's four games in a row that they've put together really good games with different people leading the way, and I think that's a big thing for them.
Yeah, and that was – it's crazy because last time when I talked to you, they had just pulled off that miracle against Indiana, and – now they go into Rutgers, which I didn't think they were going to win that game. If anything, I thought they'd lose by double digits just because I figured that Indiana game would drain so much out of them. And instead they go in there, into the rack and they beat Rutgers. And then last night, that was basically another miracle there with the 4-point play there by Stanford to force overtime, and that he had that critical putback, off of this three. That from that point on, it just seemed like Iowa had all the momentum and they were able to ride it to a victory in overtime. And it says that this team's got resolve, which I think is a good thing to have, especially as you continue to navigate through what's a grind with the Big Ten. And then ultimately, if you're able to get to the NCAA tournament, great. They're probably going to be a bubble team at this point. And it's one of those situations where that Eastern Illinois loss is going to linger still. That's not going to go away. But if from Iowa's perspective, if they can continue to just win the games at home, and they got a couple more home games coming up here with Maryland Sunday, Northwestern on Wednesday, they can win both of those, get to 5-3 in the Big Ten when they go to Ohio State next weekend. That would for sure be a step in the right direction. And to me, it's just a matter of if you're in the Big Ten, if you can handle your business at home and then maybe steal a couple on the road, which they haven't done that part yet, but they'll still get some opportunities to do that. But the handling your home court, to me, that's the most significant thing. And if you could do that, then you're in a good spot.
And welcome to the Iowa Hawkeyes, Josh Dix. Where'd that come from? I love it.
You know, and he had the minutes against Indiana as well. So that's one of those things that they can continue to get some consistency from him, some consistency from Peyton Stanford. You know what you got in Chris Murray. You've seen what Philip Obrach has been able to do here of late. And it gives Fran options. This is something I know we were kind of talking about last week, but he's now got guys that he can rely on. It's not just something where he has to depend on Chris Murray to do everything. He can go to one of those other three guys that I just mentioned, or somebody else. Maybe the light comes back on for Tony Perkins at some point here, and he's able to have a role again. It's just one of those things where the more that's there for him to handle, or that he could use in late minutes and late game situations, the better off that this team is going to be. And I think that they'll be able to get more victories out of it as a result.
I think like all college teams, staying healthy is number one.
Yep.
And then continue, you know, and we like to say the offensive numbers, and the offensive numbers, they've gone on this run by being able to get stops too. And they weren't doing that when they had their losing streak. They didn't have that in Nebraska, and they didn't have it in a couple
crazy
of games.
They got the stops against Rutgers, and they did get them late in the game against Michigan. I'll give you that. I'm still not sure, because there were points during that game last night where the first half it seemed like Michigan was hitting everything in sight. And then you wonder, oh, boy, is Michigan going to actually pull away with this or not? But then, again, that's when the four-point play came from Peyton Stanford, and, you know, the rest is history.
Here's the one good thing. Besides Purdue and Ohio State, who's a great team?
Maybe Wisconsin.
Yeah, that might be your.
But yeah, it's a short list.
Yeah,
you're right.
I mean, any night one of those teams can pour it on. Michigan State can still win big games. Michigan can still win big games. But to think that somebody can come into Carver when you're playing tougher on defense and hitting shots and you're healthy, you should be able to win all those games because there's just no team. Go ahead.
The good news is all the remaining home games seem winnable at this point because I don't believe Purdue or Ohio State, and maybe Ohio State does come later in the season. I can't remember the schedule off the top of my head, but the one thing I will say though is Iowa has to play all three of those teams that we mentioned on the road still. So that could be tough. But again, they're in a spot where as long as they handle their business at Carver, I think they'll be in a good spot where they could maybe steal a couple games on the road, and then suddenly you're on the right side of the bubble come March.
You know, I think one of the interesting things, too, may just be that not only are teams struggling in the Big Ten, there's teams struggling all across the country in these conferences.
Yeah.
There are a lot of good teams that we expected to be good teams that aren't playing well, and maybe that, you know, if Iowa can do what they need to do, and maybe that's just 500, you know, maybe a little bit better than 500, but you just have to keep doing what you're doing. They have a really good chance of making the tourney because there's not that many great teams out there. So,
well, and I think to your point on that, I think one of the big things there is you have a lot of the guys that would be your one and dones.
Right.
They're all going to G League now because they're getting an opportunity to go to the NBA with that route. So as a result, I think it's – I don't want to say it's completely even the playing field in college basketball, but there's a lot more parity in college basketball than there was even, say, like 2 or 3 years ago.
Yeah. Once again, we're talking to Brendan Stiles. He is at TheBStiles on Twitter. Before we jump over to playoff games, couple of others here. First, your take on the Chicago Bulls. They're in the playoff hunt. They're at 10. They're 19-23. Yeah. Need to get healthy.
It's crazy. They've been beating all the good teams on their schedule, and then it's almost like they went back in time to when Thibodeau was the coach.
Yeah.
But I'll say this. If they can continue to play around that level, then I think that they're going to ultimately be in the play-in, which is where I thought that was probably going to be their ceiling for the season. And again, they get into that, or they get out of that, and then you're looking at like Boston or Brooklyn or Milwaukee in the first round. I don't see them beating any of those teams in the playoffs, but I think at this point, if you could at least get there and, you know, do some damage in that play-in round and get to a point where you're playing one of those three teams I mentioned in the first round of the playoffs, then I would say that's about as good as you could hope for with this season, considering that Lonzo Ball still hasn't come back from his injury yet. You don't really know what's going to happen here in the future with DeMar. Like, are they going to keep him around after this season? LaVine's in the first year of his extension. The one thing I have to say, though, is the other night, I don't know what he was doing, because they're down three, and he ended up taking I don't know if it was something where he thought he was going to maybe draw contact and then, you know, hit a shot and get a three-point play out of it, but he took a two when they're down three late, like with maybe 5 seconds left. He missed a shot. There was no call. There was no, and it was rebounding. The game was over. I think they got to obviously have better awareness in late game situations, but their team, like I said, they just continue to tread water here. I think maybe they'll be in a position where they'll be playing at least that first week in April, if nothing else.
Why do some fans and some NBA analysts and talking heads, why do they not like Jokic and Luka? You know, they're just like, well, I heard one say, there's no way that I can vote for Joker to be the MVP. I don't care if he averages a triple-double, and he's averaging a triple-double. And Luka Doncic, right, once again, taking that Dallas team on his back last night against the Lakers. It just seems like those guys just don't like these two players because it's not flashy. Well, they're not dunking. They're not doing all that. I don't get it, B.
I think part of it, too, might be they're also from Europe. But
yeah, I know.
That I not to like completely open that can of worms, but I do think that could be a factor. I will say this. If it were me, I would say Luka's probably the MVP at this point now.
I agree.
Just because as great as the numbers that Nikola Jokic is putting up, the one thing that you do have to keep in mind is Denver, the Nuggets are actually winning, and it's because of what we've said before, which is they finally have the other guys, if you will, Jamal Murray and Michael Porter. Those guys are healthy.
Yep, and they can hit shots.
You're seeing a healthy Nuggets team, you know, reach its potential this season. Whereas with Dallas right now, they're still kind of in that mix where, you know, are they going to end up in the play-in, or are they going to be like a 6 or 7 seed? And Luka's kind of the one that's keeping them in that stage where, you know, they're a 6 or 7, or they're a 5 or 6 rather, and they maybe have a shot at winning in the first round like they did a year ago when they got to the conference finals. So I think right now, if it were me, if I had a vote, I would say Luka's probably the MVP at this point.
Yep.
We'll see what happens the rest of the season, but if he keeps playing like he is right now, I don't see how he doesn't win it.
We got 4 minutes to get through these.
Sure.
Seattle-San Francisco's first game. Thoughts?
Yep. I think Seattle will keep it close just because they've already gone against Brock Purdy once a few weeks back. But I do think that San Francisco will win the game, just maybe not by the 10 points I believe they're favored by.
Chargers and the Jaguars.
This is tough.
In my head,
I felt like Jacksonville would win. And, you know, the Mike Williams news today obviously doesn't help things for the Chargers. But at the same time, I feel like they have the better defense. That's going to ultimately be the difference. So I'm leaning towards L.A.
See, I said my head says L.A., my heart says Jacksonville, because I'd love to see him get another game in. Miami at Buffalo.
This is going to be a bloodbath.
I wish
Tua could play for Miami, but Buffalo, they were my pick to win the Super Bowl and the season began. I have no reason to go off of that right now. I'm going to take the Bills.
And the Giants and the city that you live in, the Minnesota Vikings.
Yeah, the Giants, who were my dad's favorite team when he was alive. My heart, obviously, I would want to go at New York. I think I'm going to go with the Giants just because they do have some guys coming back on defense, and they did play. To me, here's the difference where that game was more recent.
Right.
So I feel like there are some things that they could learn, and that'll help them this time around. Obviously, Minnesota presents major challenges because if it's not Justin Jefferson, it's Adam Thielen. If it's not him, then it's T.J. Hockenson. So it's going to come down to, can they get pressure on Kirk Cousins? I have a feeling they're going to be able to, and I think the Giants sneak out of here with a victory.
I do too. My heart and head both said New York there, and I want to back Kirk Cousins, but it's difficult.
Right.
I don't even want to talk about Baltimore-Cincinnati. I think that's a blowout.
Yeah, I'm sorry Lamar's not playing for you Sunday, so yeah, I got to pick Cincinnati. And
I don't think Lamar's ever playing for me again. I'm going to have to figure that out.
Yeah.
Most intriguing game of the whole weekend, I believe, is that Dallas-Tampa Bay game. All this is riding on Dak's shoulders McCarthy's shoulders.
I'm going to say this is the one week that Dallas doesn't screw it up for some reason. Because to me, there's just too much there with Tampa. You know, I feel like if maybe they were just slightly better, like let's say they were 10-7 instead of 8-9, or, you know, they didn't have as much drama with, like, the issues they had on offense this year, then maybe I could see the Bucs winning. But I feel like that it's almost too much for Brady to overcome in this spot against a defense that you know is going to want to, you know, make a statement after what happened to Washington last weekend. So I actually think this is the one week that Dallas does get it together before they go to either San Francisco or Philly and probably end up losing in that spot.
If just it was way too early because you don't know matchups yet. Right. Philadelphia and Kansas City get to the Super Bowl, or are you thinking somebody else has a better chance?
I think it's going to be Buffalo and San Francisco, which, yeah, at the beginning of the season, I told you it was either that or Buffalo-Tampa Bay, and I went with Buffalo-Tampa Bay, which I'm kind of regretting now. Obviously, the 49ers didn't have McCaffrey at that point in time, but ever since they got him, they've been on a roll. And Buffalo, I'll tell you what, I know Kansas City got the one seed, but obviously you throw in the fact that that's going to be in a neutral field now if they play each other. That's got to be a huge advantage for Buffalo, just knowing they don't have to go to Arrowhead again.
Right.
And they, statistically speaking, the numbers would back it up that Buffalo is probably the one team in these playoffs that you could argue is complete in all three phases.
San Francisco is going to get to the Super Bowl because Brock Purdy does what?
Just enough and doesn't make the mistakes to hurt his team. He gets the ball to McCaffrey, gets the ball to Kittle, you know, he just lets those guys do their thing.
And I think I believe that his toughest matchup may be that first game because they've seen him. I agree with
you. Yeah, exactly.
Because I think their defense can just blow everybody else up, and it's going to be very interesting, and it's going to be a fun time. It's one of the better playoffs. You know, I think they got it right. It kind of worked their way, and you have good news with DeMar Hamlin. I just have this sneaky feeling that he may be in the. He may be in the locker room this weekend, so that'd be kind of cool.
By the way, real quickly, how about my Chicago Bears ending up with the number one pick in the draft and then hiring Kevin Warren away from the Big Ten?
Huge hire, by the way. We can talk about that next week. I think that's a great job on their part. Have a great week, buddy. See you next Friday.
All right, you too. Enjoy the playoffs.
You too. B Styles, you're listening to Steen on Sports, bringing sports your way every day right here on 101.3 FM, 1700 Champ AM, Real Sports Talk. For real sports fans, one more segment for this week. Be right back.
Champ, Central Iowa's home for sports talk radio. Steen on Sports, real sports talk for real sports fans.
Welcome back in, everybody. Once again, happy Friday. Last segment of this week. Drive safely home. Hope everybody had a great day. Get ready for the weekend. Long weekend for a lot of us. Martin Luther King Day on Monday. We will be back live on Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. Happy Hour Sports with Steen and Scott. Then we'll finish off Friday. Get ready for next weekend's football games that are coming on. This segment is going to be brought to you by Palmer Group, an employee-owned company providing employment services since 1998. Finding a job has always been challenging, but in 2022, we keep doing that. Scott did it yesterday. I did it the day before. I did it again today. The challenging in 2023 is now even more daunting. Palmer Group was founded to change the dynamic and focus on both the clients and the candidates to make lives better. The company's motto of getting candidates, companies on the same page, candidates and companies on the same page to make things happen has never been more important or challenging. Currently, over 300 jobs are open on the website at thepalmergroup.com. Jobs in accounting and finance, admin and customer service, manufacturing, information technology, and mortgage and banking. Keep both staff and candidates very busy. Check out the website and find out what Palmer Group can do for you. What they can do for you, get you prepared to get a new job. Make sure you're ready to go in an interview for a new job. Make sure your resume is ready for a new job. Get you that new job and keep you moving along. That's what they're going to do. Want to thank them. Palmer Group, Heritage Building Maintenance, Des Moines Orthopedic Centers, Northwest Bank, and Woodman Controls for being a part of the program. I have to, one more time, just because I can't, give Melissa O'Neill, Chief Executive Officer, Central Iowa Shelter and Service. You're going to hear more about her. You're going to hear a lot more about her organization, Central Iowa Shelter and Services, and what they do coming up every day. And we'll just keep adding on to it. She is that kind of amazing, and it is a lot of fun to talk to her and to be able to talk about her program. Okay, once again, NFL playoffs coming up this weekend. Miami, Buffalo, Skylar Thompson, K-State guy, so Big 12 guy, kind of excited about that. Has no idea in the world, talks in third person. It's a tough thing to go to Buffalo against that Buffalo Bills team with that atmosphere, with everything that's gone on, all the good news that has come out from tragedy to a certain extent. I think Buffalo will be ready to play that game. The Cincinnati Bengals, Baltimore Ravens, not even going to talk about it. Cincinnati's going to win that game. This is the intriguing one. It kind of intrigued B as well. The Chargers and the Jaguars. This is a game. I think if the Chargers can jump on and get some points, I think Jacksonville may be in trouble just because they've never been there before. But it's been a long time since LA's been there as well. So with that being said, I think the Chargers will win. The game is in Jacksonville, so it's going to be close. And that's probably the biggest game I'm looking forward to. San Francisco plays Seattle. Seattle has seen Brock Purdy played against him. I think he has too many weapons. I think their offense is clicking under him in a way that it hasn't in a long while because of his strengths. What Kyle Shanahan has to do is make sure that Seattle doesn't force any of his weaknesses. Pete Carroll can still game plan a big game. That one will be interesting. The Giants and the Minnesota Vikings. Listen, the Minnesota Vikings won 13 games. You can't, it's just bunk and they're horrible, and you can't win 13 games in the NFL. They're like, well, they have negative. They have a negative plus minus. I understand that. And I don't know what to say about it, but they still won 13 games in the NFL. I don't know how you dismiss that so readily, but the Giants are fun to watch. They have nothing to lose. They didn't think they were going to be in the playoffs. They had a couple of things fall their way. Number one thing that they had fall their way was the Detroit Lions cared about a game that meant nothing and beat the Green Bay Packers in Green Bay, outdoors, cold, for an indoor dome team. That's a lot of things that happen New York's way, so they better take advantage of it. And the last one, I agree with B on this as well. It's a difficult game to pick. I want to trust Dak Prescott. I can't trust Mike McCarthy. I don't know what I think about their offense. Their defense hasn't been playing well. Micah Parsons is dinged up. But for my buddy T, I am, just for you, T, I am going to say that Tampa Bay is going to win because I never win those games where I talk myself into. But If you put me in a room with water just about ready to go over my head because I had to pick between Tom Brady and Dak Prescott to win me a big football game, I'd take Tom Brady. That doesn't mean he's going to do it, but that's a big distinction there. That's a big, even as bad as they've played because of all the injuries and everything, and he's 46 years old. Listen, it's still Tom Brady. I mean, seriously, he's 35-12. The others are 1-2, 1-3, 0-1, 0-0, 0-0, 0-0, 0-0. That's what you have. That's what you have going into this in the NFC. It is ridiculous. So, you know, and I think the keys to get to the Super Bowl, playing through Kansas City is not going to be easy. Even though it's probably going to be on a neutral field. And how healthy is Jalen Hurts? If all Jalen Hurts can do is go back and throw the football and not run the football and be part of their running program, I don't think the Philadelphia Eagles can beat very many people on that list. And they definitely cannot beat the San Francisco 49ers when push comes to shove. The San Francisco 49ers defense is too good. And if he can't put his head down and run when pressure comes because he doesn't want to hurt his shoulder, I think there could be some issues. We don't get a lot of time, and we need to start doing that. Getting to look at the NBA. And I mentioned it just a little bit to B today when he came on. I heard people on talk radio today say that it's just the way Luka and the Joker play basketball is just, it's unwatchable. And I'm like, what are they thinking? I mean, I would rather watch what they do than, I don't know. It's disappointing. Right now, the Boston Celtics are a really good basketball team. They play a really good team game. They're playing really well. The Denver Nuggets are playing well. Joker, and he's not going to win. There is no way in the world that he's going to win a third MVP. I mean, the people's brains will just poof and be gone if that happens. But when you're looking at that, Memphis is a really good team. Ja Morant's a really good team. They have to stay. They can't afford anybody getting hurt because they need their whole grouping. The Pelicans need to stay healthy, and the Mavericks need to stay healthy. Sacramento Kings are back up. They're at number 5. The Clippers are number 6. The Suns are 7. Golden State is 8. Golden State can, if they can win tonight, can get back to 500. I don't know what I think about Golden State. I don't know what I think how good they really are. But there are a lot of teams in that Western Conference that I wouldn't want to play. Because I don't think that you can see the outcomes of games. But when you look at the Boston Celtics, that's going to be a tough out. If Kevin Durant comes back healthy the way he's playing, Giannis, I'm going to be curious to see if Milwaukee does anything at the trade deadline. If they could get a shooter that could get them 14, 16, 18 points a game and get that from out by the three-point line, I think they would be a tough out, but it's difficult. The Cleveland Cavaliers are playing really well. And I know the New York Knicks are 23-19, but, man, Donovan Mitchell, for what you would have had to give up, man, looks a lot better than what you have. He is playing lights out for those Cleveland Cavaliers. And then you have some spoilers. The Pacers are at 7. Tyrese Halliburton hurt a little bit again. I think he hurt his calf. Might have been an ankle. You couldn't tell when he was kind of walking off. If that Indiana Pacer team is healthy, I would like to see them pick up a shooter type of. I mean, I was thinking, that's Greg. Doug McDermott. I can't remember what team he's playing for. He might be playing for the Hawks. But have a three-point shooter that they – even one more three-point shooter that could come in off the bench. Indiana just needs a little bit more scoring power, and a defensive stopper would be nice too. Just to see Tyrese keep enjoying playing basketball because it's fun to watch him play. Once again, you've been listening to Steen on Sports, bringing sports your way every day right here on 101.3 FM. 1700 The Champ AM, real sports talk for real sports fans. Northern Iowa, Belmont tomorrow, 3:30. Then you're going to get Chargers, Jags, Dolphins, Bills, Giants, Vikings, Ravens, Bengals, Cowboys, Buccaneers. Can't wait to get in here on Tuesday. Have a great weekend. Enjoy that extra day if you have it off. See you on Tuesday.